Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's a personal thing. You ought to want to tell the Lord yourself, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. It's personal. Glory to God.
Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, once again, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you today, to hear your word today. We pray that the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear and see, but be able to practice and partake of what you share, reveal, and unfold for us today. And oh God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to commence reading at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, recorded are these words. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Where are y'all at? Okay, verse 30. I'm sorry. God bless. Well, see, that's what happens when you open your Bible now and hear at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start it all over again. Praise the Lord. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. I shall read what I was reading again. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I'm so grateful for our word, church. Hallelujah. I was led back to this very familiar passage of scripture because there must be an understanding in the body of Christ and certainly in this local fellowship of how God desires to meet and minister to us through our trials, our tribulations, and our temptations. We having finished a 21-day fast corporately, and knowing that having come through this, if you'll remember Jesus, as it was recorded, it was after he had fasted. Not necessarily during, even though he had his trials and tests and temptations, they were preludes to the reality of the ultimate temptations and the ultimate test and the ultimate trials when he had finished. So I want to help you understand that just because you may have finished with us, don't think that it's over. The devil is now just getting ready to put you through some stuff. But what you need to know, brothers and sisters, is you already have the victory. And more so, what you need to know, it's not just you, but God with you that's going to bring the victory in every area that the enemy may try to come against you. This is important to know because too many times we allow the trials, the tests, the temptation to deal with us rather than us dealing with them. In other words, we need to recognize that we have the power, the authority, the express word of God to deal with anything the enemy throws at us. Keeping in mind principles that we've gone over, practiced, and recognized that the devil can't bring anything to you that's not been first approved and permitted by God. If it is coming in a way that seems to be more than you can bear, then it is simply one of the tests that God uses and allows for you and your development to be perfected. You see, a whole lot of us don't realize that God allows the enemy to do what he does to prove to the enemy that we are who he says we are. You know, the devil knows, again, by the word of God, God always makes sure that he makes clear for the claim those who belong to him. He, again, working through the system of his word, working through the reality of what he has allowed and assigned and put in place in terms of order and structure, cannot violate what he has said in his word. So he has to operate according to his word. When man, who was a free will agent, sinned volitionally by his own will, by his own actions, then he then forfeited the holistic protection of God, the peace and the longevity. Man was originally designed to live forever with God in this earth realm. But when sin entered into him, God cut that short because he gave man a choice. Now listen at this. If you go back and see the word of God in the beginning, before man ever sinned, Adam had the ability to walk away from that situation. He was still in control of that situation, but he allowed himself to let the trial, the test, the temptation overtake him when he very well could have overtaken it. Now here again, no different from that is the reality today, that when the enemy comes up before us, to us, to deal with us, we must recognize that we also now, especially as born-again believers, and now with the presence and power of the Holy Ghost, have the ability to overshadow him, to overthrow him, to have the ability to stand on the word before him. Jesus gives that example to us when he is tempted in the wilderness after his 40-day fast. Everything Jesus beat the devil with came from the same thing you got in your hand. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us when he had been baptized, he was filled, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want you to know, I mean, it almost seems strange. Why would the Lord lead you to be tempted? Well, the word tempting is a misleading word, because it wasn't tempted, because God, according to his own word, cannot be tempted with sin. So the word temptation was not really the word, or tempted was not really the word that clearly gave the clear meaning of what it meant. It meant he went by the Spirit of God, led to be tested, to be tried. You see, once God says you are who you say you are, the evidence of who you say you are, or he says you are, is made clear only and is certified only after the test. You can say you know a whole lot of things, but it isn't until you take the test that proves that you know them. Teacher said, how many of y'all did your homework? How many of you prepared for the test? Well, when the test is actually taken, she knows who did their homework. The teacher knows who prepared themselves, and the teacher knows how much they were able to retain and to be able to regurgitate. And so the reality is that until you go through your test and your trials, you are not certified. You know, you might think you are. How many times have you said, well, I can handle this? And then something far greater than what you thought you could handle blew you away. See, sometimes you think, well, Lord, I could never handle this. But what you don't realize is you don't really know altogether how much you can handle until you have been tested. And your testing proves what level of maturity you're functioning on. You'd be surprised how many saints have been in the church a long time and they still are at low levels of maturity as it relates to God. They don't walk in the fullness of God's understanding. They don't walk in the fullness of God's authority. They don't walk in the fullness of being able to demonstrate the reality of what God has vested in them. But they've been in the church. That doesn't qualify them for the test that the enemy brings against them. It's a spiritual thing. Now, one of the things that I love about the way that Paul talks to the church at Corinth is that he shares with them the history of Israel's examples, just a portion of it. And if you walk through that, our time does not permit us to go through verses 1 through 10. But the Bible says in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples. Listen, and they are written for our admonition. In other words, the very things that the Israelites experienced and the way that they handled God, the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God are examples for us today. And we are admonished, listen, according to the Word of God, to handle things either the way they did or differently from the way they did, to have the outcome the way God would desire us to have it. And the Word says, again, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now listen to this. This is a truth that is going to extend throughout time. What God has set as an example, what he has set as a model, what God has given for us to practice or learn from is a reality from the beginning of time to the ends of time. And his word, which is true beyond time, is going to be the thing that's going to sustain us, the thing that's going to encourage us, the thing that's going to inspire us, the thing that's going to empower us to be able to live the victorious life even while you're going through some stuff. Now, how many of us will be honest with me today and say, Pastor, I'd love to live a life with power without problems? I mean, you love to have power and not have to use it. You like to have, you know, carefree days, not have to go into spiritual warfare, not have to deal with enemies, not have to deal with issues. I don't wake up in the morning saying, all right, devil, come on, let's dance. I don't wake up expecting him, you know, to want to fight and do all this, but I know that's his nature. And I know that whenever he shows up, he's coming for three things. John 10:10 reveals what those three things are. And so when I recognize that, I realize the devil ain't my friend.
That's right. That's right.
And I realize that whenever he shows up, he's coming to me to destroy me. And so I've got to be prepared to handle at every turn what he's going to deal with me with, so that I can, by the word of God, have authority over him and walk in that power. I want you to see this again. Look at the word says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Now see, sometimes you can get too cocky. Spiritually, naturally, and in any other arena where you think yourself more than what you are. Now, just because you defeated the devil today, don't think he ain't coming back tomorrow. Don't think he's not going to reload and not come back after you. And see, the problem with too many of us is we experience one victory and 10 defeats. And we experience the 10 defeats right after the one big victory because we let our guards down. Or we think just because we won today that the devil is not going to try us tomorrow. But my brothers and sisters, Job will record for us to understand that the devil will hit you multiple shots in one day. But here's another thing that's revealed, not only from Job, but right here from Scripture. And it is clear that God is in control of whatever happens to you. God is in control of how much the devil can put on you, can bring before you, can deal with. Now, why are we going through this? Because some of you are going to have to deal with some things in different areas of life where God is ready to bring deliverance, where God is ready to bring breakthroughs, where God is ready to take you to another place, and the devil is mad. And you're going to have to recognize that the reason why the devil is fighting and putting up this opposition is because he wants to keep you in a place of complacency. You're going to have to prepare yourself to go to the next level, to go to the next stage, to break through this place of complacency and move into the area where God wants you to. I want you to see this again. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't think you've gotten to the place where you are and that you can't be taken from that place, either higher or lower. Don't think that where you are is the place that God wants you to stay. Some of us have been in this place too long. Some of us have not had yet the experience to understand that where they are is not all that God has for them. Now, having said that, again, don't think that just because you've been here a long time that you can't fall from here. Some of you come to a place and it's a lofty place in your life, your Christian walk, but you're comfortable there and you're at a place where you think this is a good place to be. I got news for you. That's the first deception of the enemy. Tell your neighbor you can't be comfortable right here. Tell your other neighbor you can't be comfortable right here. You see, one of the things that you've got to realize is you've got to become discomforted in order to discomfort the devil in you or who deals with you. In other words, when you're satisfied with the enemy having his way in your life, overpowering you, overtaking you, keeping you in bondage, then the devil ain't gonna fight that and he ain't gonna bother because he's got you where he wants you to be. But you gotta realize God's got so much more than where you are and what you have, so much so that you need to realize the greater good is going to come through your trials, through your tests, and they are developing you, and you've never been blessed like you're gonna be blessed when you come through your test. Listen. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Listen at this, because this is important. First thing it tells us is temptation is common to man. Talking to the Christian man, talking to the natural man, talking to the carnal man, temptation is common to man. But I also want you to realize something too. Temptation is common to Christ. The Gospels record how Jesus was tempted, how Jesus was tested, how Jesus was tried. So don't think that he does not understand your temptations, your tests, and your trials. As a matter of fact, the word declares that he was tempted in all points, like as we, but without sin. Amen. That's the difference. Everything that you've dealt with, Jesus dealt with it. Everything that you've gone through, he's gone through. Just because he was supernatural, don't leave out the fact that he was also human. Jesus would not have any earthly idea what I'm going through if he had not had an earthly body to experience what I have experienced. The only difference is he was able to conquer the temptation, the trial, and the test that was placed before him. Now, listen, this is important. You think about your greatest test, whatever it is, and it's according to the word, Jesus has already experienced it. You think about your greatest trial, whatever it is, and the record is Jesus has already been tried and passed the test. You think about whatever your greatest temptation is or was, and the record is Jesus experienced it and overcame it. You might. No, he couldn't have had my. No. He ain't had my temptation. He ain't had my test. He ain't had my trial. No. The word is clear that everything the devil has tried at you, Jesus was already tested on it. You know what the difference is? He passed it. You know why it's much harder for us than it was for him? Because when the devil, let's deal with temptation for a minute. Because we're talking about tempted, and in this word, it carries a multifarious arena of meanings. But listen at this. When Jesus was tempted, the reason why it didn't last long was because he didn't yield to it. Now, you know, we would be able to pass the whole lot of tests if we just drove a little faster by it. But you know what our problem is? If you've ever seen anything going, you driving on the highway, on the street, something happens over there. You see police lights up the road on the side. Now, by law, you need to slow down to a safe degree. But how many times will we be honest enough and say our slowing down isn't just to be safe, it's to be nosy? And you can create a wreck watching a wreck. And so many times the enemy gets us, and that's what advertising does. Advertising is designed to appeal to your appetites, to appeal to your wants, to appeal to your passion. And so what you got to realize, how many times has the advertising been better than the product? And see, what you miss is when you yield to temptation, it is then able to download more detail about the situation, which appeals more to your appetite and to your passions. But if you pass it up, I don't want to hear it. I ain't trying to think about this. I won't see this. I ain't going to look at it a second time. That's what happened to David on the rooftop. Saw Bathsheba bathing in the evening tide and watched and got out there. How many times do we be honest, it's the second look that started all the mess? You ain't got to raise your hand. I know I'm telling the truth about it. If you'd have just got all you got in the front, did I see what I saw? Okay, well, I'm going to keep on going. But no, you got to get a closer look. Somebody said just one look, that's all it took. And then that's what made the decision of whether or not I'd look again. And don't fool yourself, brothers and sisters. If you want to know how Jesus triumphed over many of the things that he went through, it was because he learned how to let the word guide his thoughts. And he was mindful of what his eyes saw and his ears heard and his mind thought.
And he controlled them rather than allowing them to control him. So included in the fact that temptation is common to man, it was also common to Christ. The reality is that temptation exposes the feebleness of man. You see, temptations or tests or trials will expose where your weaknesses are. All of us in here may appear to be weak until we're tested. Even from a medical standpoint, when we are tested, the doctors can tell whether we've got a weak heart, whether we've got bad lungs, et cetera, in our body by testing us to see where our weakness lies. Well, see, that's also what the enemy does also with temptations and with tests and trials. He sees where the weakness is in your faith. He sees where you are not as strong as you ought to be, and you ought to be stronger than you are, but it's never until the test is confirmed by actually going through it that determines where your real weakness is. Devil just thinks a lot of stuff, but it's concrete after the test is over. It's clear. How many times you thought you were stronger than what you really are? Till you went through something. And it revealed to everybody what level you were really functioning on. Listen to this, because it's important. It's important. But one thing that you recognize, that though temptations reveal, though temptations expose the weaknesses, the feebleness of us, it also at the same time discloses the faithfulness of God. Wherever your feebleness is, your weakness is, there is the faithfulness of God. And every one of you in here today have experienced the faithfulness of God in your feebleness. How many of us would be honest and real enough to say that when I was weak, he was strong? When I couldn't do it, he did do it. When I threw my hands up in surrender, he carried me through, and I don't know how I made it. All I know is because of him, I did make it. That his grace was sufficient for my situation, for my suffering, and even for my sin. Listen at this. Listen, because I want you to see this. Look at God's faithfulness. The word says, again, but God is faithful. There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You go through everything anybody else, including Christ, has gone through, and they've gone through, and the operative word is through. So when you want to get to a point where you're dealing with some stuff and you're tired of dealing with it, and it's like, Lord, how long am I have to deal with it until you pass it? Until you realize that you need to start dealing with it rather than it dealing with you, until you take authority over it. God wants us to stop all this whining, crying, and complaining and start getting off the milk and start getting on the meat of God's word and pulling ourselves up out of these pity parties and woe is me situations and recognize you aren't the only one going through some stuff. You aren't the only one dealing with trials. You aren't the only one suffering with pain. You aren't the only one having sickness to deal with. You're not the only one who's got financial issues. You're not the only one who's got family problems. You're not the only one dealing with a wicked boss. You're not the only one dealing with folk you can't trust. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. Others have gone through it and made it through it, and the record is you can also. Why can I do it? Because God is faithful. Now look at this. Let's look at his faithfulness. If God is faithful, the word says, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, tried above that ye are able. See, God is so faithful, and this is why you've got to be confident in your trials, in your tests. This is what makes you realize how faithful God is and how powerful God is. Job already showed you, according to the word, how God empowers us and how God prepares us and how God provides for us. But what you got to realize is how God again sets limitations, not on you, but on the devil. And the devil's limitations are always limited to your ability. I said the devil's limitations are always limited to your ability. So if that is the reason why some of us go through some things others of us do not go through, it's because others of us are not at the same level as us. That's why your course is customized for you. Every trial, every test, every situation, you can have two brothers who are identical twins in the flesh and who are not identical twins in the spirit, who will suffer different.